As we have all understood, we are indeed living in a time when many things are happening very quickly, some almost unexpectedly and incomprehensibly fast for most people. First of all, I would like to say a few words about the uniquely blessed trip to Israel. It was my 9th time in the land of Israel, but what I saw this time overwhelmed me. I have never seen the country so green. I was there for the first time in 1964, when the city was still divided and you had to walk through the Mandelbaum Gate from Jordan. And over the years, I have observed how everything is progressing. But what we all saw this time really overwhelmed us. God has not only brought His people back, He is blessing the land He promised them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, into which He led His people under Joshua, and then had to scatter them, and is now gathering them again from the ends of the earth. We are glad that God's natural people, His original covenant people, have returned to the land of promise, to the land of their fathers. We are just as grateful that we, as the New Testament covenant people, are allowed to enter into God's promises and return to the faith of our fathers by grace. It is indeed a great privilege that the Lord has given us. I would just like to briefly mention last evening the testimony of our beloved brother Schumacher. We all know him for many years. And I remember the day it happened. He had epileptic seizures. He fell here and there, as he himself testified, foaming at the mouth. But then came the day when he simply said, "Brother Frank, pray for me. I believe that God will heal me." It was a simple prayer, but God answered it. He can stand up here. He is sitting in the front row and testify that since that day, how long ago was it? Maybe 15, 16 years, he hasn't had a single seizure. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it is important that we have the right attitude towards God. And if we expect God to use someone, then we must also have the right attitude towards Him in our hearts. And then God cannot help but confirm His word and do what He has promised. I am deeply moved, though you may not see it at me, because I try to keep myself under control as much as possible. But especially the things that are now happening in the political and spiritual spheres here in Central Europe have somehow touched us all to some extent. We have become aware of them. We know about the things that Brother Branham saw in visions in 1933 and predicted about the course of human history. He spoke of Mussolini, of his invasion of Abyssinia. He spoke of the Second World War. He mentioned Hitler by name. He said many things, including that fascism and National Socialism would lead to communism, and that the time would come when this communism, or what had been infected by it, would ultimately be embedded in Catholicism. And do you know what he said was the characteristic of this? I will read it to you in a moment, and you will hear it for yourselves. He did indeed give the characteristic of this by saying, I can read it in German and English, there's been a national teaching reign. Communism sowed amongst the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happens? If they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back, that puts communism the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly does, perfectly. He said it on the 19th of March, 1962. Last week, a brother called me and asked if Brother Branham had said anything about this important event. And he asked specifically about the demolition of the wall. I said, I can't remember, but it just wouldn't leave me alone, because I knew he had said something about Kennedy and Berlin and so forth. And when I look for something, it won't leave me alone until I find it. And now, on Thursday, just before midnight, I found it in this sermon, the end time sight seed. Brother Branham spoke about how everyone sows, Baptists sow, Methodists sow, all isms sow, communism, everyone sows. He spoke of the early and latter rain, saying that the early rain is in the time of sowing, the latter rain in the time of harvest. He explained a few things on the tape. But listen for yourselves now. Every Swiss person and every second German and everyone else knows enough English that you will surely understand and hear.
Glory Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain gone forth. There's been a national teaching rain. Communism sowed amongst the people. Every nation. There's been a Roman revival. You know what happens? If they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back. That puts communism, the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does. Perfectly.
I may report or translate more of it, but I really ask you to understand. Brother Branham was a simple man. I don't know to what extent he could even divide Europe geographically. I know that when Brother Green first came to Europe, he did not know where Belgium and Holland were. It was a little bit like, you know, America is big enough, and if you know the 51 states, you know almost the entire American world. But this man said in such a short sentence what is of utmost importance to us right now. Politically, we have seen how National Socialism and Fascism have come to an end, and we have also seen the progress made by Communism. I read it just 2 weeks ago. It is claimed that there are over 700 million communists, and within the short period of change in Eastern Europe, over 80 million have already declared their resignation, and the rest will do so. Everything leads to Catholicism, because that is how the final image of the Bible for the end times has been set out and presented in the infallible Word of God. We could go into a lot of things. Brother Dudler gave me a newspaper clipping. I'm sorry if we get a bit political, but many of you are familiar with Swiss newspapers. Here our Mr. Kohl is pictured with a man in Warsaw. But under what? Under a picture of Mary. And you know that Mary is crowned with 12 stars. The politicians are photographed under this image. And you all know that the European flag has exactly the same image with the 12 stars, which was already used as a symbol in the Middle Ages before the outbreak of the Reformation. Please note, during all these 400 and more years, nothing has changed in this respect. The first pope to visit a foreign country of any significance was in 1964, when he traveled to Israel. All the others stayed where they were, unless they were driven out. And the current one travels all over the world. Those who do not come to him, he goes to them. Is it so or is it not so? And he deceives the whole world. Did Brother Branham not see this development in 1933? He saw a beautiful woman, church, Revelation 12, a woman clothed with a sun, 12 stars above her head, the true church, Revelation 17, a woman as a harlot riding on the beast. Now it offends me beyond measure that the woman, the harlot of Revelation 17, has taken the symbol of the true church of Revelation 12 with the 12 stars. That is deception. Do you understand what is being said here? Do you understand the cunningness with which this is being handled? It must be said, whether you understand it today or not. People, and especially all religious leaders, have drunk the wine of Romans' fornication and have become drunk and have lost their minds when it comes to spiritual matters. So it is written in Jeremiah 51 and in many other scriptures. Last Thursday, I laid my auntie, the only aunt I had left, who passed away at the age of 83, to rest. I often prayed with her, but she was a member of the Baptist Church, and I was shocked. I knew from the Protestant Church that the pastor would come forward in a long robe with two beautiful white ribbons and then begins his litany, as is done in the Roman Catholic Church. And lo and behold, this man comes with his briefcase, inside which is the white robe with the two ribbons. And he comes and begins his tralala, just like all the others. It moved me so deeply. I know these churches, and I do not judge. It pains me, because everyone is walking the broad way to destruction. And many true children of God, dear brothers and sisters, long for the true word of God. And the leaders, the spiritual leaders, are themselves blinded. The Lord then gave me the opportunity to give a testimony, to bring a word. I couldn't do otherwise. If I'm not called, then I follow God's call on my own. Then I don't need anyone to suddenly say, now someone else will speak. Then I simply say, I have a word to bring, and then it is brought. I would not wait a year. I would simply bring it. The pastor was sitting among the listeners. It had to be said, even if it was a funeral. Beloved, perhaps I have already said enough about the current developments. Perhaps not. One cannot warn enough to denounce the things that are so adorned but seductive, to pull back the veil, to give humanity the opportunity to decide and also to discern. For how can they know unless someone has told them? You have experienced it yourselves in Switzerland. First, the beautiful 100 Frohnote with St. Martin, and the rope he cut so beautifully disappeared. And now you have the 100 Frohnote with a Roman church on it. Who noticed what was behind it? And then it went on. And soon the Jesuits were welcomed back in the country by popular vote. And have you read about it now? Your delegation, which was only an information trip to the Vatican, came back without meeting Cardinal Ratzinger there. But he then came here and met the delegation here in Switzerland. Beloved, not only other countries, all the peoples of Europe and then the rest will be involved in this seduction, which is so elegantly and religiously adorned, that only those who have received discernment through divine revelation and the teaching of the prophetic word will be able to discern it. All others will say, this is the great thing we have been waiting for. Remember the word from Matthew 24:24, which Brother Branham often mentioned. In this sermon, he speaks of Duplessis, who deceived and seduced the Pentecostals, went to the Vatican and wanted them all to be baptized in the Spirit. We believe in the baptism of the Spirit, and what more could we wish for than for the divine fire to already be burning? But may the true baptism of the Spirit come upon the true divine seed to bring the word planted in us to life. For that is what it's all about. The spiritual rain comes for the word, the seed. That is what this sermon is really about. To simply bring the seed to germination, to life. Brothers have brought me various articles about earthquakes in California, about all the different things that people can no longer explain. Today frost and snow, tomorrow heat, sometimes nice and calm, sometimes tornadoes. Today one no longer knows what is coming next in any way. All of us who have been informed by the grace of God about the things that belong to the end times and their development now have the overview. And I dare say, whoever does not believe and accept the message that God sent and is enlightened by the Spirit will fall for pious deception. No one should imagine that they can manage things on their own. Things will manage you if you do not accept the word that God has brought through His prophet and allow it to become a revelation in you through the same Spirit. There are people who simply say, it can't just be us. Where are all the others? Perhaps a word of clarification. I do not believe at all that it can only be us. But I do believe that we already are at the moment. Do you understand that? And that many others will join us. And no one can expect me to put on a black robe with two white ribbons and then, when someone dies, conduct the funeral, and when someone gets married, conduct the wedding ceremony and maybe come to a coffee party somewhere. Everyone must be able to expect me to pass on the word revealed by God, which has been handed down to us through Brother Branham, as it was made known to all the prophets and apostles, because God has appointed me to do so. Many can conduct funerals in white and black robes and also perform weddings and so on. No, it overwhelms me beyond measure, for I see that one of the seven heads, as Revelation writes, who was wounded unto death, lived again, and the mortal wound was healed, and the whole world marveled at it. Here, Central Europe, and I do not want to draw linguistic boundaries, let alone national boundaries, but you can start from the far north of this continent. Everything became Protestant, overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, through the part of Germany via Switzerland and Austria, right up to Geneva and Graz. Both cities became strongholds of the Reformation. Zwingli fought the Counter-Reformation in Switzerland with the people of Zurich and was victorious. Thank God for that. In Austria, it did not succeed. The last 30,000 fled from the Salzburg region because they could no longer remain in the country. Now, we notice something, and I ask you to pay attention. It is the completion of what God began back then. And perhaps, if anyone is thinking nationally, let me mention briefly, Irenaeus, a man of God, residing in Lyon, France. Other men lived in other countries. God takes whom He wills and when He wills. He decides and no one else. But precisely at the point where the 95 theses were nailed to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg and the Reformation could no longer be stopped, precisely there, a few kilometers away, ran the dividing line since the war. Now we have gained our freedom. And what will happen in the coming weeks and months, none of us can yet comprehend. But God willing, we will all celebrate Christmas together again. And some things will indeed have changed. Let us return to what Brother Branham said in this statement. He speaks of the reign of teaching. Everything has spread the teaching, socialism, communism, everything. He mentions Billy Graham, Oral Roberts. He mentions the most diverse churches. All of them have carried their teaching out into all the world, to all nations. In the same sermon, he says, the true word has also been sown, and when the latter rain comes, the seed that is in this word, the seed of life, will come forth, and the bride of Jesus Christ will stand again as the body of the Lord, as she stood in the beginning. Thanks be to God for this. Not only have all the other things been sown, but the true word of God has also been sown. He speaks of national teaching reigns, of communism, and then of the revival of Rome. Let us not go into that in more detail. Some might almost think it is my hobby horse. I make no apology for that. If I have the revelation of Jesus Christ, then I must also have the revelation of who the Antichrist is. One reveals the other. There's no more hiding. I would like to read that again. You know what will happen when they return the eastern part of Berlin. That will put an end to communism. That will bring the Roman Empire back to exactly the same state it was in during the days of Jesus. Have you read the book, Traditional Christianity? What did I explain in it? Which empire is the last world empire? The Roman Empire. Daniel saw only four beasts. He saw only four world empires. Today one might ask, why during the Second World War the whole story was called the Third Reich? Soon one may ask, how quickly it will now be called the Fourth Reich. Beloved, I tell you that I am overwhelmed, especially by the fact that Brother Branham, as a prophet of God, already told us on the 19th of March, 1962, when the other part of Berlin, when the reunification comes, then communism will be finished and Rome will take over everything. The Roman treaties, everything, all roads lead there. But there is one way out, and that one way is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we have the task of warning humanity, even if it costs us our lives, then others shall be saved for eternity, for they can only take our temporal life, and that will end soon anyway. Whether it ends a few days earlier or later is no longer important. Perhaps a small correction here. Some of you have heard about the experience that the Lord gave me when I was admitted to hospital unconscious on the 31st of December 1980 and knew nothing, not even that I had been admitted, because I was dying and could no longer speak. All my strength had left me. And when they sent me away to die, there was a curtain on the right and one on the left, and next to me was a man who was fighting for his life, and I knew that my time had come. Professor Becker and who they all were, I could still hear, my ears were working. I heard the phrase, too late, often enough, but when I was taken out of my body, under the open sky, the glorious blue sky, and then saw the crowd dressed in white, and was taken up with them, not like a rocket, majestically going up, higher and higher. And because I have mentioned this experience here and there, some have come to the conclusion that I must remain alive until the Lord's return. But I ask you not to see it that way, for the following reason. All will participate in the rapture, including all those who have already gone before us. For those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be transformed and caught up together. So anyone who concludes from this that I must remain alive, I'm only saying this because one day I could be martyred, and then someone might say, huh, Brother Frank saw this and that. Brother Frank did not say that he would remain alive until the coming of the Lord. Brother Frank only recounted his experience of participating in the rapture and being in the front row. That is the truth before Almighty God. So please pay close attention, because as I just mentioned, it could really happen that I may die a martyr's death. And then what? Yes, but we thought it was similar with John, and they said he will not die. And the Lord did not say that he would not die. He said, if I want. And then something came up that was not good. Please, let us think and act correctly in all things, always within the bounds of the Word. Then we will protect ourselves and others from many disappointments. Let me read a few more scriptures. I love God's word with all my heart. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will remain forever. I would like to read from Ezekiel chapter 2, from verse 8 to Ezekiel 3, verse 3. Ezekiel 2, from verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. A truly wonderful word. As you know, the prophets were shown certain events in images and symbols in order to receive inspiration through the Spirit about what was happening and what was to come. We find roughly the same text in Revelation 10, immediately after the explanation of the message of the seventh angel, when he will blow the trumpet and the mystery of God will be finished, as he has declared it to his servants, the prophets. Revelation chapter 10, from verse 8. And a voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. I would like us to note that this is not referring to the ministry of the two prophets who will come to Israel to prophesy for 3.5 years, dressed in sackcloth, and bring the divine message, but rather that the divine message must still be carried to the peoples, tongues, nations, and kings of the earth. And chronologically, ordered by the Spirit of God, according to the development in these last days. We have said it often enough. We already have the word from Matthew 24, verse 14, as well under control as a Sunday school lesson. Here it says, Matthew 24, verse 14, and this message of salvation, or this gospel, not a gospel, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I will show you from Revelation the context in which this word is written, namely that an everlasting gospel will be preached to all nations and tongues. Revelation 14 from verse 6. Here we are shown three things in the Holy Scripture that belong directly to the last phase. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Note again the term, nations and tongues. Not yet Israel, in the last round, before the time of grace for the nations comes to an end, the everlasting gospel must be preached to all peoples, tongues and nations. Now someone will ask, but an angel is shown, flying high in the heavens. How then can this take place on earth? Beloved, did John not see everything in heaven? He even saw the red dragon in heaven. He saw the woman clothed with the sun in heaven. Shall I read it to you? Of course. Revelation chapter 12. It is very important. Brother Branham could say, there is someone in the assembly who thinks this and that. I am not a prophet. I cannot say that. But it is possible that under the proclamation of the true word of God, one's own thoughts may break through, and that should not be. The Spirit of God should reign in our midst. Spiritual understanding should be given to us. Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. The sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and so on. I am also glad that Brother Branham, in his answers, the Hebrew questions, number 1, 2, and 3, gave such clear insight into Revelation 12. And he said, this is the New Testament Church, and the 12 stars signify the doctrine of the 12 apostles. The New Testament Church is crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. That is what he said. The church that was seen in heaven is first on earth before she is taken into glory. It is the same here with Revelation 14 and with all the other things. They were shown to John, who was enraptured in the Spirit. Yes, he was taken up. There he saw all these things. But the course of these things, the development of these things, you will see, I will read on, and then you will realize that it is not happening in heaven, but on earth. I will continue reading from verse 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. Now it comes. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. precisely because all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, the true everlasting gospel must be preached to all nations, so that they may be torn from their religious intoxication and become sober and make their decision for the truth and thus for the Lord. Now hear the third message. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. A very severe punishment. Who in all the other churches knows what the mark of the beast is? Go and ask, I beg you, try it. Ask in the churches, who is the beast with the seven heads and ten horns? What is the mark of the beast? What is the number of the beast? Ask in the churches, and you will either get an evasive answer or a shake of the head. But you will not get an answer that is binding from God. When I heard that Billy Graham was visiting the Pope for a third time, it turned my stomach once again. A man who really had the opportunity and greatly appreciated Brother Branham. But it can happen that even men who are used by the Lord, who are popular and well known, are not prepared to walk the narrow path with the Lord. And when we were told at a large meeting in Florida that the man from Texas, an arch-Catholic who paid for Billy Graham's campaign in Los Angeles with $23 million, then you can imagine that the path always has to lead there. I'm not here to criticize, but I grieve greatly that these men have made a name and fame for themselves and did not recognize the hour of divine visitation. God took a simple man, anyone who begins to listen, even if they had 6 years of English at school, has to start all over again, because it is below their level. But the divine message that this simple man brought is above any level that all the clever and intelligent evangelists ever knew or could bring. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. What did Paul say? God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. I'm increasingly grateful to God for sending Brother Branham. Beloved, I'm not one of those who use the terms the prophet in their speech. But I'm one of those who believe from the heart and have accepted what this man of God has proclaimed in the name of the Lord. And I want to see and observe this proclamation in accordance with the overall testimony of Holy Scripture in the ongoing development and inform the people of God accordingly. Back then, on the 19th of March, 1962, Everyone understood that the world had been divided at Yalta, finished. People went home, and that was it. But this man, 1 year, almost 1 year, after the Berlin Wall was erected, on the 13th of August, 1961, this man said, on the 19th of March, 62, again differently from what anyone could have thought, when the western and eastern parts come together again, communism will be finished and everything will pass into Catholicism. What can we say today? Today, what the man of God said back then is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Is that so or not? I'm grateful for all the sermons. I'm telling it like it is. I have mainly dealt with the sermons which I know almost by heart since the opening of the seven seals, since March 1963. But we see that this man was already a prophet before that. God used him, and we have witnessed the development up to this point and can now see that he already said back then, when this happens in Berlin, then the time will have come. Now it has happened. The time has come. I do not know how many months or years we have. God knows that. But one thing has become very clear to me. We are not just talking about the end times. We believe with all our hearts that we are living at the end of the end times, and we believe that political and religious matters are taking their course. Everything will be healed. We have just heard the politicians say it is not enough for Western Europe to be united. A pan-European house. Just 2 days ago, Moscow requested to be at a table to belong to this community. Where are we? Where do we stand? And anyone who does not believe that the Roman Church is behind this, how many know how many bishops the Pope has already appointed in Romania in the last few weeks? Everywhere, things are in full swing. And I say again, whoever does not come to him, he goes to them. And he does the whole thing. Those who know me know that I clearly predicted the outcome of the elections in the GDR. Capital is needed to bring the Eastern European countries up to a certain standard, so that they can all participate. I say again that I'm not a prophet, but I have been able to recognize the prophetic word by the grace of God. And it really makes a big difference whether someone thinks about God's word on their own, or whether the Spirit of God, which was at work in the prophets and apostles, rests upon us to reveal all these things to us. Let us summarize. Brother Branham saw the end times in their development. And remember, this man predicted at that time that women would get the right to vote in the United States. Women voted for the first time in the USA when John F. Kennedy became president. That was the first time that women in the beautiful United States were able to go to the polls to cast their ballots. He also predicted at that time that they would leave their place and go into politics, into everything. And we see that very clearly today. Dear sisters, is there a more beautiful place for you than to love your husbands, care for your children, set the table beautifully, see that everything is in order in the house, that your husband has a real home? If there were a more beautiful task for you, God would have given it to you. That is the pole in the family around which everything has to revolve, but not a woman who holds election rallies and manipulates the other competitor. That is certainly not where they belong. Brother Branham predicted all this, and we have now reached the point where the last picture he saw is being fulfilled. Who knows? He saw someone like a queen, beautifully dressed in purple, sitting on a throne. And the voice said to him, "She looks beautiful, but she is cruel in her heart." Then he wrote as a footnote, possibly the Roman Catholic Church, outwardly dressed in white, royal, princely. I actually watched once in a European country as the red carpet was rolled out for this man from the Vatican. I shook my head. The many helicopters, no landing and no takeoff for anyone. Everything had to wait until it was over. The military was there. Everything was there. Yes, I watched it. I was in the airport building. The red carpet was rolling out. The soldiers in their finest uniforms, the tallest men in the country, were standing there. And lo and behold, I am happy for him. His time will come. But I don't begrudge all those who have a right to hear the truth. They should hear the truth. They should hear the divine message. The year of Jubilee of our God shall be proclaimed. And Brother Branham also says this in this sermon, as every seed has sprung up at the appointed time, so the seed of the word has been sown into the bride. And when the latter rain falls, this divine seed that has been sown will sprout, and God will do the same things He did in the beginning. This time is also near. Let us not worry. God is on the throne. Everything is going according to His plan. He will not be late. The right thing will happen at the right time. Once again the thought, if perhaps some of us or others are thinking, are we the only ones? We are not the only ones, but we are a small remnant that God wanted to use to make the prophetic word, the message of the end times, the things that are now at stake, accessible to humanity, rather than leaving them in a drawer and keeping them secret. God has destined us for this. I believe that with all my heart. Sowing is taking place. Then, when it pleases the Lord to give the latter rain, the harvest will be brought in. I have said it often enough. I believe that the harvest is still out there. It has not yet been brought in. As I said before, God has a time for everything. He has ways and means to make all things follow according to His will and counsel. We are now entering the final phase of the overall end-time development, and we are grateful to the Lord that we were allowed to recognize Him, to recognize the day and the message. We are not fools. We are Bible-believing Christians. Amen. And when we believe what God has done in our time, we are only confirming that we have not stood still spiritually, but have allowed God to lead us further. And by the way, no one takes offense when Lutherans talk about Luther, when Zwingli, Calvin, Schwenkfeld, Wycliffe, Huss, and many others are mentioned. No one is bothered by that. It is all correct. The many books and descriptions about these men are all fine. But when one of us quotes a sentence from Brother Branham, it seems as if people have been stung by a scorpion. They get upset and say, "Stop it." Why don't they say that about all the others? William Branham was a man sent by God with God's message to God's people for this time. I consider myself fortunate and thank the Lord my God who gave me the privilege of knowing this man for 10 years, of being with him, of hearing the word from his mouth, of embracing him, hugging him, and kissing him, of riding in the same car with him, and eating at the same table. But that is not all. To have recognized who this man is, namely the prophet, promised by God, who was to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. You can ask all the Pentecostals and many others, and they will confirm to you in their own words that this man was the greatest man of God since the days of the apostles. Ask them all, they will tell you. I remember the year 1949 in Hamburg on Bach Street. A Swiss-American named Richard Ruff, Brother Elsner still knows him. We were with him at the Hilton Hotel and with American Hall Herman, who was there as a photographer when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the two atomic bombs. He was there as a U.S. photographer, and this man came back, and Brother Branham preached on the West Coast, and he became a believer. These two brothers came to Hamburg in 1949 and already mentioned the name William Branham and said that God had raised up a man through whom the same things were happening as happened in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We all believed and were blessed. And later, I learned how people were spiritually. But God can sometimes use those who do not continue. They fulfill a single purpose, and then it is done, and they may say goodbye. I am very grateful to God, whether He uses people for one purpose or often. It is His business. In any case, we can testify with one accord. We do not follow any human being, and we do not glorify any human being. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become our Savior. But we have received the servants and prophets whom God sent in the name of the Lord. And the Lord has promised, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And it will be quite nice. The reward of a prophet will be quite nice. Some are a little afraid. They have not yet done much for the Lord. And when they read about the reward, they become a little afraid and think to themselves, "My Lord, what do you want to reward me for? I haven't done anything for you yet." A reward is equally assured for all of us. We have the man of God, the prophetic ministry. We have received Brother Branham as a man sent by God. We recognize that God has spoken through him. I would not know all the things I know today if it were not for this man. Thanks be to God for all these men whom he has sent at all times. How wonderful that the Lord has also thought of us at the end of the time of grace. In the beginning, the brethren could say, "This Paul is a man who has been given divine authority. The Lord has called him. He has appeared to him. What he preaches is binding before God." We can say the same thing today, because this man of God preached the same gospel that Paul preached. And we were allowed to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and to believe the whole Word of God. And this Word of God, which we have heard, received, and believed, has become a divine revelation to us. Thanks be to the Lord, our God, for this grace and love that he has bestowed upon us. May God bless us all together from the riches of his grace. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord. Faithful God, I cannot speak any further. I can only worship you and give you thanks for this hour, for this day, for the day of salvation as a whole, for the time in which we live, for the messenger without whom there would have been no message. The word would have been written, but it would not have flashed without revelation. Beloved Lord, through revelation, the word of prophecy now shines upon us like a bright light in a dark place. We praise you, and we thank you for this. You said, "Walk in the light while you have the light. Work while it is day, for night is coming when no one can work." Beloved Lord, we see how far all the other things have progressed in their development, and we feel that we are lagging behind. We are saddened by this, very saddened. We would like to repent before you, clothed in sackcloth and ashes, if we have not been helpful to you, but rather a hindrance. And so we ask you, Lord, since we cannot help ourselves and cannot change the circumstances in which we find ourselves, which sometimes hold us captive and render us speechless, take us out of all circumstances set us on higher ground and give us divine authority and power to carry out your mission to the ends of the earth. You are the Almighty God. We believe and trust in you. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Together we praise you and give you glory. You have already cast kings from their thrones, as it is written in Luke 2. You will cast many political figures from their thrones, open the prisons, and proclaim the year of liberation and deliverance. Beloved Lord, we praise you and thank you for this. We expect the anointing to come upon us, not to speak in new tongues with old tongues, but give us a new heart, new life, a new spirit. Lord, make all things new, and let the anointing rest upon us as it rested upon you, that we may be your mouth here on earth, in your name, proclaiming words from heaven, words from God on earth, saying, the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon me. Beloved Lord, together we thank you for the ministry of Brother Branham, your servant and prophet. We thank you for the revealed word. We thank you for all the enlightenment and introduction. Truly, you have anointed our eyes that we may see. We thank you for everything, for Golgotha, for redemption, through the precious blood of the Lamb, for reconciliation with God and with one another, for the full salvation, yes, for the grace and mercy of our God, which has truly been bestowed upon us. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace and your blessing. Equip us as ambassadors for Christ with divine authority to carry the divine message and represent you as we should. Lord, Almighty God, bless all of Europe, bless the whole world. Make it visible that your will is not only being done politically and religiously, but also in the Church of the Living God. Lord, we place ourselves at your disposal and thank you for this service. Bless with us all those who could not be here today. Bless all our brothers and sisters in all countries, tongues and nations. We thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name, Amen.